A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. Hope you had a memorable Memorial Day yesterday. I hope you got some time off. Boy, you could not have asked for better weather over this weekend. Just phenomenal in the state of Utah. We are just like undefeated this year. The most water we've gotten in forever. The spring has been mild. It's been nice. We're getting into June and we're like still not, it's not killer hot days and just beautiful outside. I hope you got to enjoy some of it. Scott Mitchell. To my right, Alex Keery here. It's another edition of Unrivaled, another week back at work. It's a Tuesday. It's always good to start the week off with one day fewer of having to do the show. Not because I don't like doing the show, but just because you go, it's a little bonus. You go
We're humans.
Yeah, man.
We like time off.
Yeah, why not?
We want to work as little as possible. Come on. We're normal people.
I was not the visit the cemetery culture growing up. We had no family members living by us that had been buried by us.
Yeah.
So we were kind of far away from both my parents' families, and so there was no reason for us to go to visit random cemeteries, like to see our – and I'm telling you, I married into a family that was like, no, we go see our families are buried in the different – and I'm into it now, man. I like it. I think it's an important part.
Nah.
The kids are there. We take pictures.
Yep.
And I don't know if I'm going as far as to getting out the hibachi grill. Because there are some people who do that.
Why not? Why not celebrate the life of those that you love and celebrate all those who gave so much for our freedom?
Yes,
and,
yes.
I mean, there's a tremendous amount. I think it's part of growing up. My family was always really good about that. And now that both of my parents have passed, you just have a different perspective. I always just feel a sense of respect and honor. And so I love to do it. I actually, to me, cemeteries scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, when I was a kid.
I hated
absolutely.
Them. Could not stand
and you remember them. The way you'd walk
and now
around
I find them very peaceful and beautiful and
I think I've seen too much. Yes. And my wife made the comment yesterday and she goes, I know probably people have said this before, but for as many dead people are here, this is quite alive. Like, there's a lot going on at this place.
That's a good
and,
way to put it.
And like, because our kids get out, you know what they do? They run around. And you know, when I was a kid, it was like, oh, watch your step.
I know.
You just stepped on Bill.
Yeah. But that's a weird thing.
It is, but
it's
also
you don't know where to walk, and you're probably
there's
walking.
no place that you're going to be like totally 100%, you know. No. And so, and as my dad used to always say before he passed, he's like, they don't mind. That's what he's like. They do not mind, you know. Like
so,
your intentions are not. You're, so, it's not weird. So I don't know.
So my dad.
Yeah.
He goes, I don't want to be buried.
Okay.
And I go, well, how come? He goes, I'm claustrophobic. And there's going to be all this dirt on top.
I know.
And I'm like, you're really thinking about this.
Yeah, you're
like,
too much.
You are way.
I think that there are
and
cultures.
And I just said, I go, Dad, you'll be dead. You won't even
I
know.
Have to look it up. There are cultures where they actually have like a little, they'll like build
like
into
an event?
It. No, they'll build in like a little alarm. So that like an alarm will go off like, hey, I woke up, man.
In case they're
yes,
not dead.
I can't remember where it is, but could you imagine the like going through that? And in the history of humans being buried, there have to be a kajillion instances of somebody.
Where someone wasn't quite dead?
Totally. And boy, you think? Yes. 100%.
Wait, you said a kajillion instances?
Well, especially with modern medicine. Like, we have just figured some things out, like in the last, you know.
So maybe someone's in a coma.
Pre-1900, maybe it happened like, probably twice a week. You know what I mean? Like that is just, it's an awful thing to think about, but here we are.
I think it was Garfield, the president, James A. Garfield.
Not the cat?
No.
Mm-hmm.
That he actually, there was medicine and there was technology available that would have saved his life.
Oh, yeah.
But they were so proud and they were into these old medical techniques, like they were leaching his body.
Oh,
and they
my
were,
gosh.
They were sticking their fingers that were in the bullet hole to try to
stop the bleeding.
Yeah. who knows, but there was actually the ability to find where the bullet was.
Right, but they were like, we're not doing this.
And it was Alexander Graham Bell.
Invented the x-ray? I don't think so.
No, he had a device that actually, and they didn't use it properly. And then penicillin was available.
They weren't interested.
And they were at the World's Fair, but they actually weren't there. He easily would have survived his injury had they used this.
Had it been now.
Yeah.
Well, roundabout way of saying happy Memorial Day yesterday.
Okay, I got one quick thing about...
Hopefully you don't get buried before it's too early.
I got one quick thing about cemeteries.
Yeah.
Was wherever you grew up, was there like some kind of local legend?
1,000%
About a scary thing at the cemetery?
1,000%
And that you went to at night your buddies?
We went, and listen, Salt Lake Cemetery.
I wouldn't go in the cemetery.
See, Salt Lake Cemetery has a lot of this too. Up here. Now, I didn't grow up here, but I'm saying, like, Emo's Grave is a real, like, something everybody always talked about here in the state of Utah. And it was like this, you know, it would glow green or something like that. And I think they had to get rid of the headstone because too many people showed up there and were like, you know. But we definitely had, like, this Confederate, because I lived in the South, and it was like this soldier, every once in a while, you can hear the faint sounds of the bugle of the war field. You know, because he played bugle before he was brought back and buried. And, like, all that stuff scares the crud out of me when I was a kid. And you know what we would do? We would dare each other to be in there. We would dare each other to lay on, you know, in the cemetery for, like, 10 seconds or whatever.
See, there was a grave in Springville. I can't even say the names.
Really?
Yeah.
Because you feel like they're going to haunt you?
There might be people listening.
Yeah. I love
it. But it was about a certain... there was a certain group of people who all had the same last name initials. And there's a legend that they had some kind of, you know, pact with the devil or whatever.
Oh, I love that kind of stuff.
And the one guy, he passed away. Most of them actually passed away mysteriously. And his grave, he was in a car accident, and his car had headlights that if you supposedly went to the grave, the lights would come on.
Okay. See, I love this kind of stuff.
And that got removed, too.
See, I'll tell you right now.
Same thing.
Unsolved mysteries ruined my childhood for cemeteries, too. Like, I just got freaked out by that show. Robert Stack knew how to scare people. All right. Let's get into the program. Jeremy.
Should we scare people?
No. That's what we do around Halloween. I told you we could write a whole thing. We're going to do a KSL haunted house situation at some point because I want to get people coming around to the Devereaux Mansion, and we're going to tell us all sorts of ghost stories.
I've got a ghost story.
I know you do. Goodness. I know. You have like a whole little mini group of people here at work that are like weird ghost hunters. All right. Let's get into the show. It's Unrivaled. It's our first Tuesday back from Memorial Day, and let's get into the cut right here.
There we go. The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut brought to you by G2G Bars, all natural ingredients, by the way, with the protein bar that does not quit. I'm telling you, G2G Bar, it's substantive. It's not just like some filler, you know, that's covered in chocolate. This is a perfect protein bar. Tastes amazing.
There's no fillers in it.
No. No additives, no preservatives.
Beautiful.
It's in the refrigerated section at your local Associated Foods, Costco, Holiday Oil, Maverick, etc. All right. And Trajan Wealth, TrajanWealth.com is your website, TrajanWealth.com. Scott, first up on the show here, of course, the NBA Finals are now set.
Yes.
And what is also set is the fact that your thought that Jaylen Brown could end up a Jazz man, it's not totally put to bed, but I would say it's buried, and there's an alarm on the casket for him to be able to let people know he wants out. But
why do you think it's dead? Listen to what happened at the end. Like, everyone was like, got to pay this. Immediately the discussion was about Jaylen Brown and what are you going to do next year? What are you going to do? You're going to stick with the team? They smell something. I'm just telling you, they smell that. I hardly buy into or believe that the Boston Celtics are going to supermax him. That's
then what would happen? Then somebody will. Do you think the Jazz will?
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
Well, they won't supermax him for where he is because they can't.
I mean, so let me tell you where the number is. What the number is that he's eligible for as an all NBA guy.
Yeah,
his contract extension would be 5 years, $295 million. 5 years. Yeah, $300 million-ish. Jason Tatum would be up for a five-year, $320 million deal. Those guys combined are a $600 million of contracts over the next 5 years that the Celtics – does it benefit a team to have that much money on the books for these two guys?
Well,
and so you can ask yourself that. But I think the important part of this was Jaylen Brown, he did not have a good Game 7.
Nope. He's going to be motivated.
Jaylen Brown. Okay, fine.
Wants to prove himself.
Tatum gets a bum ankle, and he said he was a shell of himself, and he played like it. And the Heat were on fire, man. And pun intended. And with all the things that have been following the Heat around this offseason, and with the Nuggets awaiting them in the finals, I have a hard time. Just going, yeah. The Nuggets are massive favorites, and I'm not going to short the Nuggets of any kind of respect because they deserve it. They have been everything that they were supposed to be, the best team in the West. They were the best offense in the league. They have arguably 1A or 1B of best players in the world on their team in Nikola Jokic, and somehow people are still not impressed by him. Jamal Murray's coming around to be that superstar again, possibly, and yet, how could you count out the Heat? In a series like this.
I'll tell you how you count them out. But I got to go back. I got to go a couple steps back.
I don't want to jinx this thing with Jaylen Brown. I feel like you're going to ruin it.
No, I'm not. No, you asked, does a team want to put up $600 million for two players?
Yeah.
And the answer is, well, they don't pay them that money all at once. They spread it out over time, Alex. It's not like they got to find, you know, that it's, you know.
You know what? We're a segment early on this, but. That's the biggest captain obvious you've said all day.
Okay.
So wait, they don't get a check today for $300 million?
No, they don't. All right, okay, but let me go on.
Okay.
We'll get to that.
Give me more arguments, because I'm not buying Jaylen Brown is anywhere close to the possibility of even chatting with any other team, and especially not the Utah Jazz to come here. Just because he texts Danny Ainge back and forth. And
during,
like,
the game,
he goes into the half. What should I do next?
He goes, man, you're playing it just perfect, just right, just this is
where your conspiracy theories,
yeah,
amazing. It's Memorial Day conspiracy theories.
All right, here's what I like about the finals, though. You have two teams that are massively disrespected. Nobody wanted. They didn't want Miami. They didn't want Denver. Nobody did. But here are two teams that are highly motivated. So massively disrespected, but highly motivated to say in your face. I'm telling you, it's a lot of resolve for this Miami Heat team to be up 3-0 and lose all the momentum. Like, it felt like you're on your way out the door. You're going to Boston. You're going to the Boston Garden. You're going to one of the most rabid fan bases and one of the tougher places to win in the NBA. And a Game 7, I mean, Boston had it in their hands. And so to gain all that momentum back, but also to win in Boston, tells you that this team, I think, is massively underrated, massively underappreciated, and they got a lot of guts. Like, they really do. They have a lot of heart. So you're going – you know this team is going to – they're going to fight. They're going to scrap. They're going to fight. They're going to show up. But here's the problem. So is Denver. Like both of these teams are like, we're not happy to win the conference finals. where it's like we want to win championships. End of discussion. And I really think at the end of the day, there are certain players that's really important to. And I think there's a lot of players that it's not that important. I think they put on a good face, they show up, they make a lot of money, they score a lot of points. But I don't know how many of them truly really have that heart of the champion mindset. I don't know that LeBron still has it. I don't know that he ever really had it, because you know he's been to a lot of conference finals and lost, and NBA finals and lost, and more than he's won. And I'm not saying he's not a great player. He is. I'm just saying there's just some players that have that just grit and just that championship mentality. So if you're an NBA fan, you go, we wouldn't want the finals any other way than where it is right now. These are the two teams that want to be here more than any other team. The problem for the Heat, though, how do they stop the Joker? Like they can't. Like they cannot stop him, and he's willing to let the game come to him. And he has other willing participants who are going to show up. Jamal Murray has shown up, and some of these other guys have shown up. And they play great team basketball, and it just may be too much. But you, if you're an NBA fan, you've got to appreciate that these two teams are here, that they want to be here, and that they're gonna show up in the finals. I really believe that. And what will help them is they've got a lot of time between games, you know, where they can rest up, and you're gonna get the best effort of all of them.
I don't like any of the you know the comparisons where they go, well, you know. They lost to the Heat, or the Heat lost to the Nuggets both times they played each other this season. Yeah,
that means nothing.
It really does, right?
It like absolutely when they say, means nothing.
When they go, because you know what else doesn't mean anything? That little eight next to Miami. It means
they're
nothing.
They're not an eight. I mean, they had a lot of guys.
Are we not giving them enough respect for what they've done in this offseason?
This was a team that had the most injured players, the most guys out of their starting rotation than any other team all year. So they were not a healthy team. And they got enough guys healthy at the right time. They're not an eight seed.
It is crazy to me because, and I know that they're not the eight seed, but then maybe you look at it, or like, you know, on paper, you would look and say, no, they deserve a little bit better than that. But then who would they be better than in the East? Like if they were healthy the whole time, who would they be?
I think people would consider them.
I bet they might be a four or five
at most.
I'd say
a three.
Either way. In the end, you've got this team. The playoffs have just been an insane run for this Miami Heat team. And so are we giving them enough respect when it comes to what they've done and how they've done it? Because it's one thing to beat the number one seed in the East. It's another one to beat New York. So you go, here's what they do in the playoffs. They just go and beat the best team in the best team in the East, the Milwaukee Bucks, in the first round. Boom.
Yep.
That's already historic. Then you go in and you smoke New York in six games.
Yep.
And then you go on and you beat the finals favorite. I mean, the Celtics were, on paper, out of the East, supposed to be the ones to win that Eastern Conference and to go on and play whomever out of the West. And why would you count out the team that beat the number one and number two seeds and then beat the New York Knicks also in the same playoffs? How could we not look at this? If they win this one, Scott, where does that go down in terms of historic performances? Because they also don't have Tyler Hero, who's one of the best shooters in the league from outside. And I know Robinson does a good job, but he's kind of the poor man's version of Tyler Hero. And I just think it's crazy because on top of the fact that injuries have kind of plagued them all year, they still do.
Yes.
And so
right.
You look at it and you go, this Heat team, is this the biggest underdog performance in NBA playoff history? To have an eight seed out of the East who played in to get to the spot that they are, and they freaking mow down everybody who's in front of them, including the best team in Boston in Game 7 at the Garden. In Boston, yeah. They freaking smoke the Celtics. And I know Jason Tatum was hurt. Don't care. The Celtics should be able to put away a Heat team that is supposedly an eight seed. And that's why I think that this is as historic of a run in the playoffs, and we probably won't give it enough respect. And I don't know why, because Eric Spoelstra is one of the best coaches in the league. Jimmy Butler is a joy to watch in terms of how much energy that guy has when he plays. I think when it's all said and done, if the Heat win this thing, if they win the finals, this should go down as one of the great underdog stories in NBA history.
So two observations from your point. One is Spoelstra is a coach, and I think having a great coach sometimes gets pushed aside, especially if you have a player like LeBron. He's done a fantastic job, and it's all the support players. You know, it's all those rotational players. It's a mindset. But then let me ask you this question, Alex. Mm-hmm. Is James Butler, is he a superstar? Has he reached that level of, I mean, because he's been the catalyst for all of it. He's been the guy that's just really stirred the drink and just really made it happen. Yeah. And he's hit big shot after big shot and just had just a clutch performance. Is he a superstar? Because I would say you'd say no, right? I mean,
I think everybody knows that he's kind of on that cusp, and he's toggled between back and forth, right? I don't know. Yeah. But he's the best player in in all these series that they've played. He's been the best. He embarrassed every team along the way.
So would you build your team around him, and could you win a championship with him? And it looks
Are you saying, will Jimmy Butler end up with the Utah Jazz? Is that what you're saying?
No. I don't think he would. I think he probably – look, I've lived in Miami, and there's a lot of good things about Miami. I'd have a hard time between there and here. Yeah. I'm just being honest. It's a nice place.
You wouldn't. You'd come back here. This is your home, man.
No, I'd go to – I know. If the choice was – if it's the choice between here and Miami, I probably
you're, but it's for the fishing. Yours is for the fishing.
Yeah, well, the fishing and the weather.
The comida. I'm not comida cubana que hay.
I am not happy that we set a record in snow this year. I'm not proud to be a part of that. I was there in 23 when they had a record snowstorm.
Old man Mitchell, I know a guy. You should talk to my old neighbor. Tell him about this. Tell him about the snow in 23. I should have been in Miami. Instead, I was here hosting a dang radio show with some idiot. Can't. What was his name? I don't even remember.
They won't let me say what I want on the radio. I got a governor on me. I'm restricted.
Run it through the censors, and then we'll talk. Yeah. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we do, we've got a bunch of fun stuff to jump into. We have a Captain Obvious around the corner. The most obvious points you can make from the weekend of sports that were. Stay with us right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
All right, welcome back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us.
So I saw something that was kind of funny today.
Hey, this is a show that's kind of funny sometimes. Why don't you share it with
us? Yeah, okay.
Jeremy makes a good point. Kind of.
Mm-hmm. It was a statement that said, why are we looking in outer space for signs of intelligent life when we can't even find intelligent life here on Earth?
It's true, man.
We got a bunch of bozos running things around here.
This actually works out really perfect for our next segment here.
Kind of thought it would.
So fire it up. It's where we point out some of the most obvious things in the world of sports. It is our Captain Obvious for the week. Let's do it.
In a world of complicated news stories, worn-out cliches, and fake news, only one man can simplify even the most complex headlines. He's Captain Obvious.
Able to point out the most ridiculously obvious things in one single sentence.
I'm curious about Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
What's his kryptonite? Like a vague and obscure statement?
Is it something philosophical that's really hard to break down?
He's like, yeah, I need headlines.
Sarcasm. Yes.
Oh, sarcasm. Sarcasm would be his kryptonite.
Yeah, sarcasm would be his kryptonite. That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I wanted to point one out because, Scott, there's a couple things that are going on right now. We have to talk about this at greater length at some point.
Okay.
But Nick Saban. Said he said, you know, I'm actually okay with collegiate athletes, you know, being paid as employees. Like, make it like the NFL. These kids do a lot of work. I think they should be given something for it.
Captain Obvious.
Says the $10 million a year man. You know what? These kids do a lot of good things. I think they should be rewarded for it. And you know what's crazy, too, is that somebody pointed out, because the SEC kind of got together and they were chatting in Florida about some of the things, some of the NCAA rules, and the SEC said, we should look more into tampering because this isn't going to be a problem. And I was like, going to be a problem? SEC coaches recognize that, quote, this is a cutthroat business. That was the quote they gave. This is a cutthroat business.
See, they know, right? They know because they've been doing it for years.
This
Jumbo Fisher knew what Nick Saban was all about.
Is a cutthroat business.
Yes.
Suddenly, like, the coaches from Vanderbilt go, we should have been trying harder.
Wait a minute.
Why are we in last place?
We can be cutthroat. We can actually pay the players.
I still like the idea of Utah's Major League Baseball team being called the Utah Cutthroats.
Yes.
That's actually, that is growing on me more and more. Because think about it. Like, that's you know, when people drive by and they have the Wilderness license plate.
Are they the Bonneville Cutthroats? They're the Nate? What? Because there's a bunch of species.
I know.
Of cutthroats.
What's like a Utah one, though? Well, I mean, Bonneville is. But, like, what's the – hold on.
There's a native cutthroat.
Utah state fish. What is it?
It's the cutthroat.
It's the Bonneville cutthroat.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't want like – you don't want anything like a Snake River cutthroat. Yeah. That implies Utah or Idaho.
That's Idaho.
Don't like it.
No.
There's a Bear Lake sculpin.
Sculpin?
You ever caught a sculpin?
I mean
The Colorado River cutthroat. But see, we've gone on this road before where we go, what's your state bird? Hey, what's your state bird, Utah? It's the California seagull. Like, that is ridiculous that our bird, our state bird has another state name in it. What is it?
I have the perfect Utah.
What is it?
Baseball.
It's got to be
name.
It's got to be Captain Obvious. If it's inappropriate, we also have to. Jeremy, he's hovering over
that
dumb
button. It's the name of a fish.
Okay. Oh crap. Oh, is it a crappy?
No. A carp. There's a carp. Not the carps. I don't want the carps.
Okay, not the carp.
But it's the chub.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
We've had the Utah chub.
The Utah chub.
And it's just a guy. He's eating a hot dog. Maybe has a little bit of a gut hanging out.
His shirt's a little short.
Oh, boy. You know what?
The Utah chubs.
But I think the Utah cutthroat would be awesome because they'd kind of make it mean looking. Although you can't really make a cutthroat trout looking mean. But you can be a cutthroat team.
No, you make it like that. It's almost like a skeletal look of a fish. You know, more of the kind of the.
Oh, edgy, I see what you're saying.
Almost a Tim Burton type of.
Okay. Like a zombie fish.
A little bit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like the, I see what you're saying. It's like that, it's like, you know, when Garfield would eat a fish and he'd pull all the bones out
right,
at once.
Yeah.
That, okay.
Kind
of something scary.
But not quite as grotesque.
But mean but looking.
A little edgy to it.
But mean looking.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Next up on Captain Obvious, Scott. I was pointing this out earlier. Jaylen Brown, his contract extension. He's eligible for the Supermax. It would be a 5-year, $295 million extension.
Yes.
Now, you presupposed last week
right.
that Jaylen Brown could be coming to the Utah Jazz. You kind of had this gut feeling about it.
Yes.
The thing is, if Jaylen Brown signs a 5-year, $295 million contract with the Celtics, Scott, he would be ineligible to sign with the Utah Jazz at that point. You can't play for both teams.
So if you have a Supermax deal that mm-hmm. you sign, you have to be with that team.
You got
to
play for the Celtics.
You can't be with another team.
You're not eligible to be on the Jazz team at that time.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
As you pointed out, Scott.
I'm really glad that
you pointed out with a pre, without even knowing it, Supermax deals are not paid out all at once.
No.
When it's a 5-year deal, it gets spread out.
Well, you were bringing up, you said, can you pay out two players $600 million?
It sounds astronomical.
It's insane. And I go, you don't pay it all out at once.
Spread it out, man.
Spread it out over time. That's how these sports teams stay in business. Here's how they stay in business. They've got in bed with gambling. That's number one.
That's true.
And number two, they've got in bed with TV. And number three, they don't pay everything all at once.
So you get in bed with TV.
And gambling.
Yeah.
Probably the beer companies too.
Oh, yeah. They're paying a lot of salaries, man. Okay. I was going to – there's a couple of inappropriate ones I won't mention. But I did also watch, too, now that the Heat are in the NBA Finals.
You bring up inappropriate, but then you don't say it.
I can't. No,
I know, but why bring it up?
You're right. I should just.
Because, see, now all I'm thinking about is, well, I want to hear about the inappropriate one.
I didn't. No, it is. It will get us fired.
Well, you can say it, and then it's only you.
No,
that
that's
gets
why
fired.
It's always fun because during
and
the
I'll
break.
I'll say, no, Alex, you shouldn't say, no, you don't, shouldn't say that. Don't say it.
That's on our Patreon.
I told
later.
You not to say that. Yeah, Jeremy's all, you know what? Whatever your instinct is that you're having, go ahead and run with it and don't say it. I did see this.
What's funny is watching Jeremy's face when you go, this is inappropriate.
There's something inappropriate here. Let me see. Jeremy, what do you think about this? And then he's like, ugh. I read an article this weekend, and it was like Keaton Slovis is getting a fresh start at BYU. And I was like, yeah, he is.
He is.
He is a brand new quarterback.
He is getting a fresh start.
Despite what others might think, Keaton Slovis gets a fresh start at BYU. Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know what, if you're on a new team, That's a new beginning for you.
It is.
If you're on a new team, you're a new player on that team. That's just how it works.
Yeah, but how long does the new last? That's the trick.
I think Keaton Slovis is going to shock some people, man.
How cool is it, or really how grateful you should be as a player? Because Keaton Slovis kind of left funky when he left USC.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was the guy, and then he wasn't the guy. And it's like, wow, how did that all of a sudden happen? It baffles me how these quarterbacks it's so flaky. And then he goes to Pittsburgh, and you go, oh, yeah, that could be pretty good. And then it's terrible. So he's kind of had two weird exits from places. And like you said, he is open, you know, he's welcome with open arms, with a fresh start. And you're like, wow, good for you. And I hope it works well for you. I really do. I really, really do. But what a great opportunity to go to your third place. And
actually, look, I think
of like a guy like Jack Tuttle. When he left Utah, he's basically off the face of the earth.
Yeah, you don't think about it.
Or what's his name who played at BYU?
Well, what's his name? Who?
You know, Russell Wilson's sidekick.
Oh, Jake Heaps.
Jake Heaps.
Yeah. Sidekick.
I mean, he was supposed to be like the next, like he was.
He was.
A big
he's
deal.
A 5-star guy. Yeah.
And he never
didn't pan out.
Never panned out.
Mm. All right, let's take a break here. That's good, Captain Obvious. Good Captain Obvious in the books for another
round. So if Jaylen Brown signs with the Celtics, a supermax,
he won't be eligible to play for the Jazz this year.
My whole conspiracy theory.
Yeah, it's out.
Blown out of.
He
the
won't
water.
Be a member of the Utah Jazz.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Glad we had the segment to clarify that one.
I know. Otherwise, where would people be? They'd be wondering. He signed with the Celtics,
well,
so can he
still
play for the Jazz? Now you can.
You know what would be fun?
What?
Is if sports had like one of those board games, you know, where you have all these like secret cards.
Oh,
that kind
of
trump
yeah.
things, you know, mm-hmm. like Uno that has draw four.
It's, what
or,
is that in?
But there's other games. It's like
right, Monopoly has like the community chess where it's all
yeah.
Hey, advance.
Wouldn't
to
that
go.
Be fun if you had it in professional sports? So this it's
here's
like
your contract. You're signing long time, but also, but before you leave, you got to pull one of the community chess cards to see if it's if you get traded automatically.
Or the Utah Jazz have one and go, oh, thanks for signing. We have a card that says we get to take any one of your players.
It's a reverse of go to jail free card.
Yeah.
It's a go to Utah.
Wouldn't that be fun to just have a crazy wild. You have these just –
it would
and you hold on to them for a while and you just –
they still now, Mike, they still have the we get your player card at any given time. They could take a player off of any team. Are they going to use it on Jimmy Butler? Are they going to use it on Jaylen Brown?
Or what if you said we have a card that like we're going to change players before this game. So you have to switch play. So like you're going to play the Lakers and you
– Jokic shows up. He's wearing a Heat uniform in game one.
And Jimmy Butler is over with the
Nuggets. I love it.
It could be fun.
See, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam Silver, I hope you're listening. You don't need the middle of the season tournament. You need middle of the game changes.
You need
halftime.
You need community
swaps.
Chest cards.
Yes.
You need community chest cards in sports.
What's the other one? Is community chest and what was the other one? Chance. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yes, the chance card. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back when we do. We have our weekend warriors, people who won the weekend here for us. I think some of these are going to be captain obvious for you, but we'll take a break. We'll come back and we'll get to those weekend warriors next right here on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
And Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
It's Unrivaled. It is at 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. And it's Tuesday. I know that we're normally on a Tuesday, we would just do our What Are the Odds? Because Mondays we do Weekend Warriors, but we didn't get to do our Weekend Warriors. So I've asked our producer, Jeremy, to just make sure we can kind of do both at once. It's a compromise. So I'll start throwing it out there. Our Weekend Warriors, people who won the weekend here for us, but also some What Are the Odds out there. Now, the Indianapolis 500 was this weekend.
Yes.
I think one of the...
Did you hear Jewel sing?
Oh, did she open it up?
She sang the national anthem.
Well, I saw her sing here when she did it. Do you mean Jewel from Payson, Utah?
Yeah.
I was like, from Payson, Utah.
It was a little folksy.
Yeah.
A folksy rendition of the national anthem, and folks were kind of a little bent sideways.
Well, let me tell you about bent sideways. Jeremy, you should find this audio, too. It's not Jewel. There was a Canadian singer for a minor league hockey team. They were playing an American team. They were playing, I think it was in Vancouver, and some, I think it was like an IHL team or whatever, the ECHL, I don't know. It was, either way, the details don't matter except for it was a Canadian person singing the national anthem, and they said, or the land of the free and the home of us all.
Ooh.
And you should have seen the faces of these people in the crowd.
Ooh.
And the hum of us all. And people were like this. It was like you had thrown up in their mouth for them. It was absolutely. And people were so like, what is she singing? And I was. So you know what? Kudos to the people who booed the lady who got the national anthem words either wrong or worse, trying to make like some political statement.
Yeah.
Because everyone was going, did she forget the words, or was she going in the home of us all, meaning like, hey, everybody, let's get along. Like, don't change, especially if you're from another country, do not change our national anthem for us. And she tried to go right into the O Canada in the same instance, and people were like, nah, man, you can't say in the home of us all and then try to get away with it. And then I think someone from their hockey club apologized. She will no longer be allowed to sing at these at these deals.
Just sing it like it is.
I know.
Do you think Canadians, because they act like they don't really care, and all the Canadian people
don't care about what? No.
About America. They're always like, no, we like our country. We're nice. But do you think there's maybe some jealousy there?
There's some eye rolling for sure. I had a Canadian roommate in college, And there were a lot of things he eye rolled about us.
Yeah.
And he was definitely like that stereotypical super nice Canadian.
Yeah.
But there were things that he was like, I don't understand you people. And I was like, you know what? You're not supposed to understand. Get out of here. And the home of us all.
Yeah, I met some Canadian people who said they would never come to the United States because it's too violent here, and they would be afraid for their lives.
That's okay.
And I go, well, yeah, there are places you don't go here.
Places I definitely won't go in Canada.
I mean, if you went to Winnipeg in the winter, you'd die. Like
you just show up and die in Winnipeg.
Yeah, it's not because it's dangerous.
50 below. Dead before you can even get it out. Joseph Newgarden is the winner of the Indy 500 from this weekend.
Oh, of course. I have no idea who that is.
I think one of the grossest things
I did not watch a single moment of
it. I did because there was a point where everybody was on social media freaking out because there was a really – these cars are going 240 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And they're burning around this track, 230, 240 miles an hour. And there was a clip – there was a moment where a car went into the wall, turned sideways, and it came kind of out into the track – and another car clipped it, and its wheel came off, and it flew straight over the fence to where the spectators were, went over them, and into the parking lot and hit a guy's car.
Oh, did the alarm go off?
Not only did the alarm go off, he no longer has a vehicle.
Because
that tire's going 200 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the luck that they had that nobody got hurt, got hit in the crowd. So his car got hit. And they allowed him to take a ride. They like gave him a lap around the Indianapolis 500. I know the
but look in his on your face. Car.
I know. I go. The look on your face is the one. Maybe they replaced it. I don't know. Do you know what the winner of the Indianapolis 500 gets? Now, aside from the milk,
they get a jug of milk.
So gross when they dump it on themselves. You're like, I want to die.
And they drink it, right?
They drink it, which I'm fine with. That's a great tradition.
If the milk is cold, it's okay.
Yes, but when they dump it on themselves, I want to die.
Why?
And last year, some guy got oat milk. It was anyway. Because why do you want to die? Because you're in a fire suit and you just put dairy all over you. That stuff goes bad immediately.
No.
Yes, it does.
It's so
gross. I can't stand the smell of like warm milk and it going gross immediately. Any guesses on the winner of the Indianapolis 500? What they won?
Because
there's a purse. I didn't know there was a purse.
I'm gonna serious.
Oh, I didn't know it was this. I didn't know it was this kind of a purse.
I'm gonna say $3.5 million.
Scott, you were right there. $3.6 million, which is the highest
winning purses.
Which is the highest payout in the history. The average, so 33 cars qualify, right? I think it's 33. And they pay them all out all the way down. So it's a $17 million purse paid out all the way down.
Wow.
So the average, if you're last place, you got like $110,000. Okay. And the average win number-wise is $500,000. For the people who are in the field at the Indianapolis 500. So there you go. Joseph Newman. No, it's not Newman. What is it? I want to say Newman because Paul Newman was a racer as well. But where did it go? Well, either way. The guy who won the Indianapolis 500, good for you, man.
Hey, weekend worries, we got to give it to the Miami Heat. Man, for coming back.
Miami Heat coming back.
And winning in Boston on the road. Big deal.
After they had lost those three games, everybody's going, you don't have it. And you're going back to TD Garden.
Yeah.
No one gave him a shot.
Yep.
Charles Barkley kept calling the Miami Heat going to lose this game. They're not going to be. And everybody was wrong about this team. I think everyone was shocked that these guys showed up for Game 7 in Boston and put it on the Celtics. Even with Jason Tatum being hurt, I think that Miami Heat team – even if he's healthy, I think they win that game.
They went after Tatum on defense.
Well, they were just so – they were like, so much more aggressive.
They knew he couldn't defend.
They were so much more aggressive. They threw – Jaylen Brown was off his game because these guys threw him off his game. And maybe you know, too, like a little part of you goes, shoot, our best player's hurt. I've got to pick it up a notch, and so you overdo it, right? That's the thing,
isn't it? Press and try too hard.
It's bad. All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. When we do – Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television is going to walk into the studio. We've got a lot of things to chat with him about, just the weekend that was in sports, and many more things to discuss. What about the Jazz and their possibilities in the offseason? As the finals go on here, how historic of what the Heat are doing, how historic is it really? We'll come back and talk about that and much more with JJ next, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another hour of Unrivaled 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, shocked, by the way, of the revelation last hour that if you won the Indianapolis 500 that nobody seems to remember anymore being an event. Although Memorial Day weekend was all, when I was a kid, I turned on NBC. You watched the Unsers, you watched the Andretti's. The payout for the winner was $3.6 million. That's more than winning a major.
Wow.
I know.
It's close. I mean,
they're getting there. I mean, it's not live tour money, but it's getting up there. But that, among many other things in the world of sports on Memorial Day weekend. And
do you like racing? Do you watch it, JJ?
I don't.
You don't watch it?
I don't like it, and I don't watch it.
I don't like it. I'm just not. It's not capturing my imagination. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, listen. Yeah.
Like, I love competition. I love sport. And there's been many years ago when NASCAR was hot. And there's like big names and big stars in NASCAR, and you were paying more attention to it.
Yeah, but
F1 has had a huge explosion.
Massive. I got into it. I got sucked into that whole F1 machine. And part of it is that I have the hardest time following races that just go in circles for 500 miles.
The turn left thing's not your thing, right?
It's hard. And yet here I am. I've gotten into other racing, so I can't say I'm not going to poo-poo it totally because I know people are into it. So there you go.
I'm not poo-pooing. I'm just curious.
I just think it's just IndyCar in this country is not a popular sport. And when it comes to open wheel racing, F1 is the thing.
It's the thing, yeah.
So it's kind of like no one's really getting sucked into IndyCar racing here in this country. But it's not the best in the world, right?
No. And yeah, they're not the best racers in the world. There is something to be said though. That everybody gets the same exact car. That's the problem that F1 has. It's like here are the regulations. You make a car based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
And no two cars is created equal. And so you kind of go, well, is it the car or is it the person driving the car? It's a mix of it. At least in IndyCar, the cars are spec'd the exact same. And you go, it's just the guys who are racing if they can do it better. So that part I don't like about F1 is you just go, oh, we have more money. We can build a better car. It's fine. Yeah. Jeremiah Jensen, KSL5 Television, joining us here in the studios. What's up, JJ? Man, we're excited.
Are you? Really?
Yeah, man, because it's I have more energy coming off of a longer weekend than I do off a regular weekend.
Yeah.
I think we all do.
Yeah, that extra day just kills us.
Here's the problem,
guys. We can get through 4 days in a week.
It's beautiful outside.
And here we are
inside.
And
we're sitting in a radio studio. It's hard.
We don't even have a window to the outside world.
No, it's dark in here, man.
This is hard work right now.
I got a question for you, JJ.
Yeah.
So Miami Heat, like, that, what a roller coaster ride, right? They look like they're cruising, and then they look like they're going to implode, and then they win a remarkable game. Jimmy Butler, is he a bona fide superstar in the NBA?
Yes.
Yes.
100%.
100%.
Was he before this?
I think he had that moxie, and he backed it up quite a bit. If he would have made that shot last year, I think it would have launched him into the stratosphere. And I think this has just kind of solidified it. You have to do it over time, right?
Right. Yeah.
So Jimmy had some great playoff. I think there was a lot of misconceptions about Jimmy Butler because he's got a little bit of Jordan in him, but he's not Michael Jordan in the sense that he demands a lot from his teammates. He developed a reputation as somebody who was hard to play with, which I don't understand because you now see the Miami Heat and everybody just loves the guy. And he was in some bad situations, like the Bulls weren't great when he was there, and he got traded to the Timberwolves. Obviously, we all know who the Timberwolves are. And so he's had a hard time finding a great organization, an opportunity to really shine and be who he is. But he's a great story. He was the 30th pick in a draft, the last pick in the first round. He was homeless when he was young. He's a guy that has a chip on his shoulder, always has, and he's really matured in the last 3 or 4 years, and the Miami Heat have benefited from that.
Okay, let's talk about talent level.
Mm-hmm.
Nikola Jokic or Jimmy Butler, who do you want?
Jokic.
Jamal Murray, Jimmy Butler, who do you want?
Jimmy Butler.
Okay.
But it's close, because now that Jamal Murray is healthy, He's spectacular.
He's going down that road and maybe be a superstar.
He can do things maybe more consistently that Jimmy Butler can't.
Like what? I mean, honestly, I look at Jimmy Butler and go,
3-point shooting?
Yeah, he's a little bit.
His shooting percentages are better.
Mm-hmm.
Better ball handler, better, more of a point guy. Jamal Murray's more of a point guard. I mean, he can run the show.
Sure.
Dominates the ball. Jimmy doesn't have to do that. He can. I think if you're looking at just based on talent, I think Jamal Murray's slightly more talented. But, you know, the cliche, he's got dog in him. Jimmy Butler has the biggest dog of all.
Right.
So that makes up for a lot of any gap that there might be there. I would take Jimmy Butler right now because I think he's a playoff guy. But Jamal Murray's proven to be as well. So that's a really tough answer. Question answer, but that's my answer.
Let me ask you this, because we were talking about this run that Miami is making.
Yeah.
And I think it's a little bit of a, I think people will be quick to go, yeah, but they're not really an 8 seed. Well, that's obvious. They're a pretty darn good basketball team, but they are what they were going into the playoffs. Yeah. And is this maybe historically one of the most impressive, let's say maybe the most impressive run to an NBA Finals, and if they win a championship, that this would be the most impressive NBA championship by an underdog in history?
Well, we've only seen 2 8 seeds ever make it to the finals, right? And this 8 seed is far more impressive than the one in 1999, the New York Knicks that ended up in the finals and lost to the Spurs. So, yeah, I would say this is one of the great stories in NBA playoff history. Even up to this point, it is. Getting to the finals as an 8 seed is extremely difficult, and you look at the teams they had to knock off. They had to beat the Bucks. In the first round, they did it in 5 games.
Knocked off the 1 and 2
and
seeds.
And the Celtics.
Yeah. You just went into Boston in a game 7 when everyone had written your obituary, and after just an absolute gut punch loss in game 6 on your home court, and you go and do what you did last night, which was really impressive. This is a great story, and if they were to win the NBA championship, no team that's been an 8 seed has ever done that. And you consider all the injuries and the roster they have, they're relying not only on the rotation as starters, on undrafted guys. What they're able to do with the talent they have is unreal. And you have to give their organization a lot of credit, because everyone says, oh, it's Miami Heat. You can go out and get any free agent you want. Well, look at their roster, and they got a lot of guys on there that before the season a lot of people hadn't heard of. Look what Caleb Martin's doing. He was cut by the Hornets. Cut by the Hornets.
Yeah.
Gabe Vincent, where did he come from?
Gabe Vincent's the funny one where you kind of go, no one said the words Gabe Vincent and tremendous or wow, you know, at any point in this guy's career, it seems like.
But don't you feel like, because you have a 1 seed, mm-hmm. right, Denver, who went all the way through. They were number 1 in the West pretty much the whole entire year. Went through the playoffs, number 1 seed they go, and everyone goes, well, they should, that, you know, they're clearly one of the top teams in the league. But then you have a team, Miami, and you talk about the injuries, and you talk about the coaching, and you talk about where these guys come from, and you almost wonder when teams just go, it can't just be one player. We got to figure out how to do it as a team. And when you're kind of allowed to participate, you know, because so many teams you're not, you know, like I don't know that a team with LeBron on kind of, you know, has that, you know, look, you'll shoot when you're told to shoot and when we let you shoot kind of thing. And I wonder if that kind of that team basketball allows some of these players to either show what they're capable of or they get the very most out of them because they're actually given opportunities. And it's not just like in the playoffs, you know, they had opportunities to play during the season, because you look at like the Jazz, and in some way that's kind of what happened there as well. A lot of these guys got opportunities to play and to get minutes and meaningful minutes, and you saw guys like a Talon Horton Tucker and some of these guys show up because they kind of were forced to.
I think, Scott, that this season, and especially this finals, is going to usher in a new era in NBA basketball. The emphasis is going to be placed on team building, not just going out and doing what the Suns just tried to do this year and go out and get the biggest stars you can and put them on the court together, because I don't think that works anymore. And I think that you're seeing this formula that Denver and Miami have, this approach, and the Celtics also had. The Celtics are not a team built on free agents and overspending.
Right.
They drafted really well. So that's this new era. I don't think the super team era works anymore, because I think you have too many of these teams, and these these NBA organizations, the ones that are at the top, are too savvy and they're too good at what they're doing. Look at the Miami, like we just talked about the Miami Heat, but look what Denver's done with their guys. I mean, a guy like Bruce Brown, finding a guy like that that can be a keep rotational player, it helps you get where you want to go. They did go out and get Aaron Gordon in a trade. You know, that's part of that whole process, right? Is finding guys that fit your team well. And everybody's going to start copying what Denver, Miami, Boston have done. And they're not going to go out and spend crazy amounts of money on a James Harden in an offseason, unless you're Houston, to try to – that'll come up here
Brooklyn
in the summer.
Brooklyn did but that. I mean, that's what they
work.
Did. And it didn't work.
It failed.
It just blew up.
Ever since, you know, LeBron, that super team era, and then the Warriors built what they did, which was actually more about – the Warriors are actually this before. I mean, they were very organic with their own guys and outsmarting the rest of the league. So – you're going to see a big change in the league and how they address it. You're not going to see teams overspend in free agency like they used to. They're going to try to do it this way, and the Jazz are one of those teams that I think have already started that process.
Should Utah sports lovers start watching the NHL Stanley Cup Finals just to prep themselves a little bit for what the world could look like with an NHL team here? There is something to be said about, like, hey, you would pride yourself on if a team did have to come to town, like, we better be freaking fans. We better show everybody that we show up, right? I mean, that's kind of the point of all this, even with a Major League Baseball team. But, you know, I was watching, you know, the first 8 minutes of that game yesterday of the Western Conference Finals, and Vegas was up 3-0 within 2 seconds, it seemed like, in Dallas. And I was trying to think to myself, because my kid was like, are we going to get an NHL team here? And I go, I mean, the possibility's there, and could you imagine a Salt Lake team or a Utah hockey team against a Vegas hockey team? It seems like these expansion teams show up in the playoffs like lickety-split, and that's encouraging because these are the newest teams, Seattle, Vegas, previously, but these teams are like in the deep part of the playoffs very early on.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating now that we've had this little bit of a tease that it's possible, which is awesome. I have been watching the Stanley Cup playoffs differently. I'm glad you bring this up because I've been watching the fan and the energy in the buildings, and it's unbelievable.
It's insane.
Did you watch Game 4 Florida Panthers when they won?
Oh,
my gosh.
And it was
a
sweep, but it still had some crazy energy.
The electricity in that building in a place where hockey, who cares about hockey in Miami? Well, they do now.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you can really galvanize a sports fan base behind this sport, and it's electric, and there's not a lot of things out there that can replicate Stanley Cup playoff hockey and the intensity, and you see what it's done to the fan bases involved. We've watched what it's happened in Vegas. There's a lot of, you know, Golden Knights hockey. There's season ticket holders in St. George.
There are actually going to be people here that people jumped on board here onto the Golden Knights in Salt Lake area.
Massive.
I know a couple guys, including my kid's baseball coach, is maybe the biggest Golden Knights fan I've ever seen. And he lives here in Salt Lake. And I was like, dude, what's going to happen when a Salt Lake team comes here? He's like, yeah, no, I would tell you, I have a hard time thinking that it would be my team. And I was like, dude, it would be your team. In fact, I'm just going to say right now, we need you. I don't know what that looks like, but we need you.
A lot of people in our community that are starving for that and looking for that connection that they found with the Vegas team that they would instantly find here.
When I signed with the Detroit Lions, and the first day I'm in Detroit, I turn on the news, sports, and they lead in the sports with the Red Wings.
Yeah.
Like it's hockey town, right? And I got into hockey, and I saw that because they were good then. They won the finals, and you know, a lot of really good players and what have you.
That was their golden era.
And that energy was just, like you're talking about, was amazing. But when you have, like, you mentioned these places like Seattle and Las Vegas and Salt Lake, because you know people in Utah, they'll get behind their sports.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they rabid fans wherever they are. And I think part of it is because they haven't had it, you know, and so you get some of these, they're kind of jaded, there's not maybe the same interest in it, but out here, and you could create some just really exciting rivalries and something to really look forward to. But I think it's almost one of those things, though, if you did get a hockey team here, it would be imperative that they won early, right? I think you need a team, you know, that kind of you kind of got a taste for, you know, when the Avalanche went to Colorado and they, you know, they won, like, I think they won the Stanley Cup like the first year.
They did.
And Patrick Waugh was an amazing goalie for them. And that's kind of what happened in Las Vegas, is they had a really, really good goalie, and they just did, you know, and it helped kind of keep them competitive early on. But I just, the fan base is out here, because I don't think you traditionally think of the West as necessarily a hockey place, but I could see it becoming a hockey haven in the western part of the United States, because it is a great sport, and the fan bases are exciting, and the play, it's just a great, I think more so than maybe any other sport you could bring. I really do. I you talk about that energy, I think it'd be huge in a place like Utah.
I think there already is a hockey fan base here, and it's not huge because we've had double-A hockey here for quite a while. And I give the Grizzlies a lot of credit. Utah Grizzlies have been really good.
Yeah.
And
those games are fun. They're energetic.
They've really engaged the fan base here. It's not a massive number because you're not drawing in the casual fan to a double-A hockey franchise, but there is already a rabid core of hockey fans. And then if you add in the general interest that would happen once you bring in the NHL, you would instantly have a massive amount of excitement and energy in this community about NHL hockey. I'm not talking – we've had professional hockey, but this is NHL hockey. This is the best players in the world.
And it's different. I'm telling you, the talent level is just
– So the ECHL that the Grizzlies are part of, their average home attendance this year, this past season – more than doubles what the A's have put in some of these games that they've had at home. 5,800 people a game at the Maverick Center.
Yeah.
The A's would love to have 5,800 a game right
I
now.
I know.
Right?
But I'm just saying, like, in terms of there's a rabid passion. Right? We've been to those.
The core is there.
It's a good foundation.
It's really, really fun to go to those things. But, I mean, it's also one of those things. I think we are going to have to educate ourselves, you know, on having what an NHL team looks like.
And like Scott said, I mean, maybe fans in Seattle and Vegas have been a little spoiled with this, but if they were to get a team, let's say the Coyotes moved here, and they win immediately, oh my gosh, people will be all in. You know how it is. I mean, look what the Jazz did. It took a while. When they first came here, the Jazz were an afterthought. College basketball was the biggest thing in the state in the early 80s when the Jazz came here, and a lot of people didn't think pro basketball would work here because everyone thought that college basketball was king here. It didn't take long. About 5 years when they started winning. As soon as they started winning, they got in the playoffs. And then you get John and Carl, then all of a sudden,
that's a big, now
it's
game in
juggernaut
town.
In town, right? So hockey could thrive here. There's no doubt about it.
Do you think Michael Jordan was a bad basketball player? Was he bad?
No, it's not that he was a bad basketball player. He was
a bad human
being?
He was
a horrible teammate. Wasn't that what Scotty said?
I didn't. He said a lot of things. I don't know.
There's been a lot of things said about Michael Jordan.
So. By Scotty Pippen.
By specifically the people that played with him, yes.
It's wild. Let me ask you this. Colorado and the possibility of them going to the Big 12 and the rumors that surround that, how could that be good for anybody? How could that be good for the Big 12, the Pac-12? I just don't see how this benefits anyone right now, how the Big 12 would be like, yes, what a massive get, and how the Pac-12 or how for Colorado leaving the Pac-12 would be a good option for them.
It makes no sense to me at all right now. Right now it doesn't make sense.
Right.
That can change. Everything can change. The new TV deals, when they come up, everything can change. We know what's happening right now. The Pac-12 doesn't have a deal. So I think there's a lot of nervousness and a lot of uncertainty. And so whenever you have nervousness, I'll call it anxiety. How about that? There's some anxiety about the Pac-12 TV deal. And anytime you have anxiety or uncertainty, rumors will persist. Rumors will take over because people want answers, and so they'll start coming up with their own. And so that's going like wildfire right now, and it's causing all kinds of stuff to come up and conversations to be had that maybe aren't based on truth. But as far as this situation goes, I don't know what Colorado, I think, is this bloated idea that they are something and they're not.
Before they've even started, the idea that something maybe could get going possibly with Coach Prime in town, and they're already going, yeah, I don't know if the Pac-12 is for us. We're looking at greener pastures.
Yeah,
like,
we hired Prime, so we're ready to go. Like, you haven't done anything
yet. You haven't paid him yet.
You've been an abysmal failure in the Pac-12 from pretty much your existence, and you're now all of a sudden this prime right. team for the Big 12.
Now you're this attractive yeah. expand. I mean, some people involved say Colorado should hold out for the Big 10. Like, are you delusional? Like, who do you think you are? And so that, but that's part of the problem here is we don't know what the heck's happening. And I don't know what the Big 12's doing next. And so it's hard to know what the future is when you don't know what the truth is with all this stuff. And are Oregon and Washington really going to stay in the Pac-12? Pac-10, I guess. I don't know what you're going to call it now. You know what I mean?
The Pac-9.
Do USC and UCLA get cold feet at the last minute and decide? Right. I don't think so.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of weird stuff going on there. USC's athletic director just left. Like, there's just all these weird things going on. And the Big Ten just has all these problems. It turns out that they had a lot of, you know, things weren't actually taken care of like they thought with the commissioner and everything. And there's some things there that are causing some angst. Sure. So college sports is kind of a mess. And but it's at the same time it's a car wreck where you love watching and love
we
talking
are tuned
about
in, man.
But it's just crazy what's going on and the uncertainty it's causing. To back to that, I don't know what to think of that because I hear stuff every day. I'm like, really? Like the logic isn't in play here. There's no logic behind Colorado joining the Big 12 without bringing three other partners from the Pac-12 with them, right? Why would the Big 12 want Colorado and not want the Arizona schools and Utah to come with them? Why wouldn't the Big 12 want to go make a chase after Oregon and Washington
it's a bad
instead,
deal.
Right?
It's a bad deal.
I think it's picking on someone who's just a little unsure. And yeah. and if you get one to fall, then I think it creates chaos and I think everything falls at that point because then you're just like, well, there's only going to be nine teams. How in the world is that going to work out? And I think it's a strategy by the Big 12 to actually find who's the weak link, who's gonna get nervous, and who's gonna say, well, you know, we're gonna jump ship, and I think if the dominoes start to fall, then it could happen. But I just still believe that that they're gonna get a deal done. I really do. I just think that's the most logical thing.
They'll get a deal done, but will it be a good deal that's going to help and enhance the league? That's my question.
Probably. I mean, if it isn't, I think in the short term probably doesn't hurt anything.
No,
because you know maybe in a few years it might, but you know right now it may. I don't think there's going to be any moving around.
If your best games are on Prime, did you get a good deal?
Ask the NFL. They're like, we don't know what this move was.
You know what? In 5 years, maybe it is. Maybe it's the place to be. I don't know.
I say that without an answer. I don't know.
Maybe
you're
Apple.
Maybe right.
I mean, you look at the most watched event on all of television is the NFL on NBC on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Of everything.
Yep.
JJ, what's going on TV tonight? I mean, it's a Tuesday. We're already jumping right in here, front end of the week.
We're looking ahead to the NBA Finals. Utah softball's on the way to the Women's College World Series, which is awesome and exciting. Right. It's a great story. And they have a chance to win some games there and make some noise, too. I mean, they've already beat Washington.
And that's who they face first, right?
So, I mean, that tells you how good this team is. So, that's going to be really fascinating. And a major sports league is coming to Utah next year.
That's all he's going to say.
It's a major award.
That's all he's going to say. Got to tune in tonight.
There you go.
JJ, thanks for hanging out, man.
You got it.
As always. Hey, Jeff Donovan's going to be here with Get Your ERC Refunds on Wednesday during DJ and PK. Tune in 7 to 10 in the AM, and you can join them for Jeff Donovan. We'll take the break here, and we will come back when we return. BT's going to join us from Real Golf Radio, of course, on DKSL Sports Zone every Saturday. Interesting stuff to be able to announce from St. George, a massive tournament that is going to be announced, that has been announced now, that's going to be starting up in a couple of years. BT's going to give us a little bit of the details on that. Stay with us, 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Take attention.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars.
This is 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
everybody. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell.
Let's go, Yankees.
Yeah, we were just reminiscing on our time when we went down to cover the Rockets Jazz in the, was it 2017 or 2018 playoffs?
Yeah, somewhere around
17?
There. 17?
Either way. One of those years. And we went to a Houston Astros game that was the night before.
I believe they were cheating at that time.
Maybe both sides.
Yeah.
But it was quite the thing because Yankee fans are everywhere, and boy are they everywhere. Boy are they everywhere.
Justin Verlander was pitching.
That's right. And Scott was just on Kate Upton watch. Yeah. He's got his binoculars out. Where is she? Where is she? She's got to be around here somewhere. My heavens.
She only goes to the day games.
So we want to make sure everybody knows, by the way, if you tune into KSL Sports Zone all day tomorrow, we're going to be giving away tickets to RSL and the LA Galaxy at the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinals and Win Ticket Wednesday. Now, that game's not tomorrow, but obviously the Wednesday after. So we'll give away tickets all day on every show throughout the station all day tomorrow on a Win Ticket Wednesday, so you can do it. Joining us on the program right now, he is BT, Brian Taylor. This is also what we call BBT, which is Bonus Brian Taylor. What's going on, Brian? Thanks for being with us, man.
Oh, man. I'm not sure how that comes off, but I'll take it. How are you, boys?
Bonus Brian Taylor. No, because, listen, usually it's like, hey, man, there's a major going on.
Yeah, we only get you four times a year.
Short time, we get Bonus Brian Taylor because this is a major announcement to happen, of course, down in Southern Utah because St. George is going to be hosting at the Black Desert Resort, the tournament for the LPGA. Like, that's a massive event in 2025 coming. What do we know about it, and how big of a deal is it for it to come to Utah?
Yeah, it was pretty cool to be there and see this announcement. Obviously, you guys know I'm working with a group that's putting Black Desert together as well as what I do on Real Golf Radio. But it was cool to be there to have the LPGA Tour in town this morning and to make the announcement that the LPGA Tour is returning to Utah for the first time in 60 years. Obviously, none of us were around back then. And so awesome to have. Today is Women's Golf Day. To make the announcement, to have, you know, the number one amateur in the world in Rose Zhang, who's leaving after her sophomore year at Stanford and turned pro today. She's in New York announcing that as the LPGA gets ready to play there at Liberty National. Meanwhile, the LPGA Tour executives are at Black Desert on this new piece of property in this beautiful setting right there in Ivins in southern Utah, right below Snow Canyon. To have that announcement there that the spring of 25, May of 25, the Black Desert Resort and Utah will be part of the LPGA Tour schedule. It was historic. It was cool. And I've had an opportunity throughout my career to cover a lot of men's events. I've been to a couple of ladies' events, not as many as I should have, but the ones that I have been to, it is a treat. The ladies are super engaging with the fans, the media, the sponsors. Everyone that's there has a great time, and I'm excited to see them come play this golf course.
Well, tell us about the golf course. What it's like, and just, you know, give us an idea of what they're up against.
You know, I had a chance to visit with Phil Smith, who is the architect for Tom Weisskopf that co-designed, the two of them designed this golf course, and he said it's a perfect mix between Kona, Hawaii, and Sedona, Arizona.
That's a good point.
And I thought that was really super cool, right?
Yeah.
So you've got the black lava that you'd see at Kona. You've got the desert surrounds of southern Utah that we've come to know and love. It's a golf course that I think is pretty far off the tee box. It's pretty wide. There's lava everywhere, but more kind of as a frame. And then once you get it out there in the fairway, I think Tom's done a nice job, depending on the length of the hole. For longer shots, I think the green's pretty receptive. For shorter shots, the green and is a little tougher, you know, and I like that. If you're going to have a wedge in your hand, he's saying, okay, come get it with a wedge. This hole's not super long, but you got to be a little more precise, mm-hmm. which you should be with your wedges. And then all the way along, it's just these tremendous use of the topography to give you stunning 360 views and just a real treat. I had a chance to visit with a couple that was there from Kansas City, and I said, how did you get out of here from Kansas City? And they said, we saw a bunch of stuff online, wanted to come play it, and not even unprovoked, he said, this is a guy that's in his mid-20s, he's a baseball player, totally yoked, and he said, this was the coolest golf experience I've had in my entire life. Wow. And I was like, wow. You know, that's super cool to hear. So it's really unlike anything we have in Utah at this point in time. And it's Tom Weisskopf, his 73rd sadly, his final design as he passed away from cancer in the middle of all this. But we'll have a lot of tributes to Tom at Black Desert, and it'll be cool to have the ladies, the best players in the world, on the women's game competing on this canvas.
Yeah, and reading about Tom's legacy, too, and how cool that is. And just the design, I'm looking at all these videos, too. And so you have the black lava rock, which anybody who's, you know, we spend 10 or 12 weekends a year down there as a family. And, you know, that whole area is real special to us. So you have that black lava rock and then that white sand, those white sand bunkers across the entire course. Really beautiful. Amazing. Why is it that Southern Utah has become that destination, too? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of energy surrounding the fact that this place is blowing up population-wise. People want to be there, and I think it's underrated in that sense, too. And so taking advantage in that way is a great way for the LPGA to jump in and for everybody to go, this is big-time tournament. Let's catch it.
Yeah, you know, the lady from Greater Zion that spoke this morning, she said that back in the day, Heber J. Grant was quoted as saying, all St. George needs now is a great hotel and a golf course. And I was like, I don't know if he really said that, but that's pretty cool. And she said Black Desert is the 14th golf course in Washington County.
Wow.
And I think there's actually a moratorium on golf courses now because of water and that sort of thing. But this whole piece of property was originally owned by the guy that subletted the development of Entrada right next door. So this is the second half of that development. And so, you know, the group has said this is the fun side of Entrada. This is the place where you're going to come and as a destination, as a resort that anyone can have access to. And so really excited. I don't know why it's taken so long, but you know, we have world-class ski resorts in Northern Utah and even down into Bryan Head, right? That people come from all over the world. Mm-hmm. We don't really have that sort of summer destination, and now we do. And so not only with the golf course that is going to be equally challenging for the best players in the world and fun for the recreational resort guests, but it's going to have this water park down there, which you're going to need because it gets hot in the summer, as you know. And then there'll be its own shopping and dining areas. It's going to be just a real full service, you know, place. The hotel will have 450 rooms. So you'll have tour players and guests all staying on property during the event and just enjoying themselves, watching them compete in this championship. And by the way, the website's already up, blackdesertchampionship.com. You can go right there and find out some more information. But May of 2025, it's going to be neat.
I feel like the state of sports in Utah is just growing up before our eyes. We're having conversations about Major League Baseball and the NHL and, of course, the Jazz, and now having LPGA events. What is the state of golf? Is there the potential for more tournaments, you know, the PGA Tour? Or because I know there's a lot of great golf courses in all of Utah. And of course, we have Tony Finau, and we've had other pros from Utah. What is the state of golf for other events or just in general here in the state?
Yeah, I think, you know, I had Patrick Manning on my show. He's the managing partner for Black Desert on Saturday when I was broadcasting down there. And he all but hinted, I mean, it wasn't even really hinting, that they're courting the PGA Tour. And so I hope to see an announcement on the PGA Tour coming to Black Desert. The challenge with it has always been, do we have a golf course that can challenge these players? And up north, you're a couple thousand feet higher in elevation, which means they can hit it even further. And so the distance and the length of the golf course was a challenge, you know, to be able to present for these players. Now, we had the senior tour up in Park City, beautiful spot for the seniors back in the day. I think down at 2,000 feet or, you know, 1,500 feet, wherever they're at there in St. George, I think that takes a little bit of the elevation distance away. And this new design by Weisskopf, I think, presents the challenge. Look, the best players in the world are going to tear it up like they do golf courses everywhere. But it's also going to be, I think it's going to present a fun challenge and be a good championship test for them. So I think golf is, to your point, Scott, like golf, people love it here. And they play a lot of golf here. And we've been spoiled with a lot of golf courses that are super accessible. This one's going to be open to the public. It's certainly going to be a little more expensive, but the experience, I think, is going to be worth it. And I think it's going to be there to host other events coming down the road. And it is exciting, right? I mean, I heard you talking about Major League Baseball coming in. By the way, as a Yankee fan, did I step into something? Well, I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I think maybe I kind of like walked into that.
We're
one
saying
a little
those
bit.
People. We're saying those people, and we were referring to you. But that was it. Was all just of.
Oh, so you're one of those people? Okay. Listen,
I'm a Mariners fan, and so we hate everybody, and it's mostly because we hate ourselves. So that's the way that it works. A lot of self-loathing, but you know, like. I think sometimes, Brian, we don't allow ourselves to think that we could have big time here. And we have kind of like this low sports self-esteem. Sometimes we go, yeah, we're small. And we got to get out of that because it's changing.
Yeah, there's no question. And look, you know, I know some of the conversations that the PGA Tour has been around, you know, having a second event to correlate with Vegas, right? So the tour comes into Vegas. And it's only an hour and a half drive, you know, down the freeway to St. George. And so, you know, having two events close by in that way, but in two different states with two different kinds of experiences, I think has the potential to be really neat. So, mm-hmm. you know, I know a lot of people that I talked to over the weekend for this opening weekend, they flew into Vegas and they drove up, you know, and then you've got equally people that, you know, have flew into Salt Lake and drove down and experienced mm-hmm. it all along the way. So, look, I think the appetite is there. I would hope people say, hey, look, LPGA Tour events, I try to watch them on TV. There's hardly anybody there. There's less. I think LPGA events in general are less attended than PGA Tour events. I think that's why some of the sponsorships are a little bit less expensive. Granted, all of those things. I would hope that Utah golf fans would blow it out of the water and be there in numbers to support the best ladies in the world. I think they're super exciting to watch play. From 100 yards and in, I'd put them up against any of the guys. And I think it would be fun to see us all show up and show our support for major, you know, league golf and really show the ladies the support here in Utah, because I think we have a golf fan base that'll support it.
BlackDesertChampionship.com is the website. You can also go see the Black Desert website itself as well and just kind of see, I mean, the landscape and the beauty and the videos that they've shot that are sweeping and beautiful too. But May 1st through the 4th of 2025, that's when the big time golf comes back again to the state of Utah. The LPGA Tour coming back to Utah for the first time in 60 years. Brian Taylor, Real Golf Radio, 6 to 9 a.m. right here on the KSL Sports Zone on the weekends. BT, thanks for hanging out with us, man. We appreciate it.
You know what? Thanks for having me on. This is a big day, and I appreciate you guys recognizing that. And I'm excited for all the baseball and hockey and everything that we're talking about. Let's keep blowing this state up with sports, and I think the fans are excited about all of it. You're right. We need to think big. We're not small, and we can handle it. The fans can support it, and I'm excited about all of it. It's great stuff. So appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, BT, thanks man. We'll talk to you again. All right, there you go. Brian Taylor. Okay. Love having him on. BT's fantastic. If there's a better ambassador for golf in the state of Utah, I mean, between he and Bob, like, it's short of like Tony Finau.
We both love golf. I mean, it's been a big part of my life.
It is,
you know,
like,
still
it
is
the thing that I can. Yeah. There's stuff that I can go watch my 15-year-old do, and then there's the stuff that he and I do together, and this is one of the things. And so playing golf, when we go down to St. George, we book tee times well in advance because we know we're going to be down there, and it's the one time, and I told you this, I go, look, 14, 15-year-olds are tough sometimes. He seems more like himself. He opens up about stuff.
Yeah.
Golf is just awesome. And the more I've gotten into golf over the last 4 or 5 years.
This golf course looks amazing.
I know.
I mean, it really.
You know, it'd be a real shame if we weren't able to just, you know, kind of play the course just to see how it is, to tell people on the radio, you know.
I think that's a good idea.
Get down there and see what's going on. I think PK is going to be down there this weekend doing their show on Friday. So do we just tag along and go, hey, oh, is that Patrick Kinahan?
Hey, they start the day. We can go play golf in between. And
I know.
And we'll close out
the day.
And
then we'll do our show. There you go.
We'll close out the day.
All right. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got more Around the Corner on a Tuesday edition of the program. And I've got some interesting comments made by another head coach in the SEC about players and NIL payments. It's insane that we're still talking like this, but here we are. It's 2023, and the world is wild in college sports. And so we'll jump in next right here, 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Attention. This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the
team. Love it, baby.
Presented by G2G Bars. This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
All right. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Did you hear me talking about the Free Frazzle Friday, dude?
I did.
You know what, Scott? I'm going to treat you this Friday. I'll take you out for a frazzle. Oh,
so kind of you, Alex.
See, that's the kind of guy I am. Wait for it to be free and then go, I'll pick you up a frazzle.
And it's not a joke. It's a real thing. You can go get one for free.
Somebody's like, is it two for one, though? I was like, no. I'm not saying it's buy one, get one. It's none of that. You walk in, you get a frazzle wherever they are in the state of Utah. It's freaking nuts. And if you haven't tried it, it's fantastic. I said, yeah, they're like, they use real cane sugar. I don't know if that's a big deal. Jeremy's like, that's a thing, man. People want the real cane sugar. It's like those Mexican Cokes, you know, and you go, give me the real sugar, man. That's why you get it in that big bottle.
That's what you need, just a little bit more sugar.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If you've got kids, this is a lifesaver, by the way. So it's not often that you find yourself in the news if you're Missouri's anything, right?
Yeah.
But Missouri's Eli Drinkwitz is
Kansas City, Missouri's kind of in.
Yeah, that's
St. Louis.
No, but I'm saying Mizzou.
Yeah. If you're talking about the football program.
Because Mizzou is the Maryland. Mizzou is to the SEC like Maryland is to the Big Ten. Is that a good comparison?
That's a perfect comparison.
Very forgettable. Because
I was going to say, wait, which conference are they in? In the SEC?
They're in the SEC, Mizzou is. And their head football coach, Eli Drinkwitz, said, you know, I think that these NIL payments that are going to these players, it's gotten out of hand. My pediatrician brother who's saving lives, okay, you know where he's going with this.
Right.
He's making more. These guys are making more money than my brother-in-law who's a pediatrician, and he saves lives. Drinkwitz, who doesn't win games for Mizzou and still gets paid $6 million a year.
He didn't think this out very well. Like before he made this statement here.
He gets paid way more than his brother-in-law does, and he's also not saving lives as Mizzou's head football coach.
So in the entertainment world, whatever part of it, because that's what college football is.
Yes.
It's a business. It's an entertainment business. And there's a lot of eyeballs that watch it. And because of that, it becomes highly valued. Bless his heart, his brother-in-law.
I love bless his heart.
But there aren't millions of people watching you.
No.
Like, you know, I don't know, give a tongue depressor and go, and see if you have your tonsils that have to come out.
Give that.
Not a lot of people are watching that. They're not watching that. And so
it would not be considered entertainment. No.
No.
It's an important, vital thing, and it's great.
Very
valuable. We pay people.
Yes.
We pay people what the market sets is that value, right?
Yes.
And for good or bad, it's probably for bad. Ian Drinkwitz is getting paid $6 million a year. These players who are actually playing the game in college are getting way less than he is.
Yes.
How are you at Mizzou getting $6 million a year, by the way?
Well, this should be a good lesson to Eli because he's probably getting a lot of feedback right now. Like, no one, like, do you think we'd ever be talking about Eli Drinkwitz if we were, like.
Even football, we try not to talk about Eli Drinkwitz.
If he didn't say something as idiotic as what he said. So
Nick Saban saw this quote and went, that's not a good quote. Like he, who has said very similar things about that, who is, by the way, changing his tune a little bit.
Yes, he is.
Nick Saban is coming around and going,
I think I know why he's doing that. You know why Saban's doing it? Because if you make him employees, guess what? You control him. That's what he wants.
He already does.
He wants the control. He doesn't have control anymore.
Could you imagine being employees, too? Hey, he's like, all right, guys, get your vacation requests in.
Right.
Seniors first.
So do we get Christmas off this year? You know.
Hey, what's maternity leave look like, Coach? My goodness.
Could you get maternity leave as a professional athlete? You should, right?
I think they get it. Now, the thing is I mean, you had kids while you were playing.
I had a daughter in training camp.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, did you leave training camp early? Now, training camp's different than
going. I was in a meeting.
Right.
The night meeting after our practices, and got the phone call.
See, but if you were in New England that weekend, taking on the New England Patriots, do you fly home early?
Well,
before you start the game,
it's almost eerie that you mentioned New England because we played in like a couple of days later,
right?
In New England, and I played in the game,
right?
I went and played in the game,
right?
See, and we just had a baby, and despite the fact that we have a lot more time off than I did with the previous children that I had, thanks a lot for hey, Jeremy?
I don't know why you're here right
hey,
now.
Hey, Jeremy, send an email to HR, see if I can get back paternity pay.
What do you want, like 4 months children? Because of
well,
your
well, I have a lot of kids, so will you just like times everything and then just whatever we get now? Then basically, I don't want to come to work for the next 4 years.
And I go,
can we make
not,
that happen?
It's not right that Alex Curry gets $1 million in back maternity pay for these kids he's already had.
He's saving lives on this radio show.
I think you're saving your life by showing up here and not staying home. It's like
I think it saves you. I think it saves her.
Why are you here, by the way?
Because that's like, not our vibe.
Go home. Go home and be with your children.
I will. Give me a couple hours and I will. I will. You know what? Dude, summer's on, man.
I know, and your great. Kids are home, and my you're going to be going crazy.
No, I'm not. My life is fantastic. You know why? I don't have to freaking make lunches at night. My life is amazing.
Is
right
that
now.
What?
I hated making. My well, kids won't do school lunch.
What, your kids don't?
They won't.
They don't get fed
lunch.
In the summer?
No, I'm happy to make them lunch at home, which I do. Oh. I'm saying I can't stand making their lunches the night before and putting them in the little brown bags, put their name on it. I mean, I love them, and I love it. I love being a parent. All right.
Your children have first world problems.
I know.
We can't have school lunch, Dad.
Dad, I don't like Nutella anymore. We have it too much. That's a real conversation I had with my kid one time. I was like, you stink, buddy. We'll come back. We'll take a break. And when we do, let's chat a little bit about some of the goings-on in college football realignment. Yes, what Colorado is saying right now and what Dennis Dodd printed today that everybody's rolling their eyes or just absolutely cheering about because there's more realignment talk. There's more seismic movement possibly in realignment. So stay with us. It is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Bell 1280 KZNS AM Salt Lake City and KSL FM HD2 Salt Lake City Midvale. This is 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone.
Let's lock in.
This is unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. We're not going anywhere. We ride here. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig. Presented by G2G Bars. On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's Unrivaled. It's 97.5 the KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you miss any portion of the show, you can always download the KSL Sports app. You can also go to the website, kslsports.com. All the write-ups that we have on all of your local and national and professional levels right here on kslsports.com. And then you can listen to the KSL Sports Zone there. You can find the shows. Download Scott and I anywhere you find podcasts as well. Do we get it all in there? Everything there, man? Yeah.
You did good, Alex.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
No, you keep your head on straight.
You may find a career.
You might. Mm-hmm. You might turn out okay.
All right.
God willing, you know.
Yeah. As they say in Spanish, si Dios quiere, basically the same thing. It's like you'll be successful only if God wants, okay? Sorry. That's where we have to draw the line. Hey, we got lots going on here on the show. Let's jump in right now, and then let's get going with the cut so we can get into what this wild, wild west has turned even more wild with Colorado threatening to move to another conference. I'm not even sure if that conference wants him, but, you know, the rumors are flying. So here we go. It's the cut. Let's do it.
There we go. The other question. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
All right, the cut and our program is always brought to you by G2G Bars. All natural ingredients, no preservatives. G2G Bars, perfect for anybody who needs that quick, tasty, nutritious boost. The word is substantive. It is really tasty and substantial. Speaking of substantive, that's what they call a segue, Scott.
Isn't that a thing you ride around on and you lean? The kind of momentum?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to say a substantive. No. That is a segue.
No,
you're
segue.
Right.
Yeah.
In this particular case, the curious case of Colorado, where Dennis Dodd is now reporting that substantive conversations are going on right now around the possibility of Colorado leaving the Big 12. Scott, right off the bat, I want to know what you're going to do with that longtime rivalry that the Colorado Buffaloes and the Utah Utes have had for so long.
There goes the Rocky Mountain Oyster Cup.
I mean,
shot to heck.
What are we going to do? Shot to heck.
Over.
What are we going to do now?
And actually, it looked like it might turn into a rivalry with Coach Prime now. I mean, that could get fun. And it's going to just going to get blown up before we ever have that opportunity to have that rich experience. Here's the thing that I can't figure out, okay? Dennis Dodd kind of dying on a sword. You know,
he's going after it, man.
Like he's mm-hmm. So he either knows something or he's being fed a line. Like he's being used.
Someone's using him as a misdirector
as a way to kind of create kind of chaos a little bit or angst around what's happening here. Because it none of this makes sense with anything that we've been told, we've heard, we kind of expect. And that is that all of the schools that remain in the Pac-12 are all together. Nobody's going anywhere. They're going to get a media rights deal done. They believe it's going to be better than what the Big 12 has. And maybe the Big 12 is trying to sabotage it because they know it's going to be a better deal. And if they can sabotage it before it ever happens, then they won't look so bad. I mean, who knows the motivation behind? And this is all speculation on my part. But, you know, you have to look at this and just reasonably say, why are they bringing this up? And they either are because it's true. And what we've been told is not true, that these teams aren't all together, these schools, and that it's kind of every university for themselves, and this is blowing up before their eyes. It's a fiasco going on. I mean, or Dennis Dodd is being played, and I don't know. I believe when you hear what Colorado is saying, and I think if you're smart as an AD, you got to look at all your options.
Well, that's all they said, right? Like that's the part where he goes. Because Rick George, who's the athletic director at Colorado, the quote that was thrown out there before we even got off the air on Friday was, we're members of the Pac-12 and we're proud members. And we've got to see where our media rights deal lands and where our conference is going to go. In a perfect world, we're going to stay in the Pac-12. We'd love to be there. But we have the word but gets everybody thrown into a tizzy. But we have to do what's right for Colorado at the end of the day. We'll evaluate things as we move forward. Every school has that same exact approach. If they don't, they're dumb, right?
I think so.
Blind, just like, I'm going to stay loyal while the ship's going down. Like, I'm going to keep playing the music while the ship's going down. That's not a thing. All these people are smart, and they will find the best place to go. And that situation might change. So in that sense, Rick George hasn't said anything crazy. Well, because all the schools are saying this. They're going, we have to make sure and take care of ourselves. Because while we are loyal to one another right now, and we feel like a Pac-10, a group of 10 in the Pac-12 right now going forward, we're all sticking with this thing in solidarity, but we'd be dumb if we didn't keep our ears open to figure out what's going to be the best thing.
I think he did say something that was interesting and should be kind of, I don't know, maybe examined a little bit. And that is, in a perfect world, we'd love to be in the Pac-12. So what's the definition of a perfect world for Colorado and the Pac-12 today? Is it a media rights deal that's far superior than the Big 12? Is it?
Why does that have to be the gate? Like, why does that have to be the hurdle to clear? But is it a good enough thing where we're better than the Big 12? But the reality is how all right, is well, it, let how me, is Colorado me, going to the Big 12 benefit the Big 12? The Big 12 should go, hey man, I don't know. Yeah, thanks. Can you bring somebody else? Can you bring Utah? Can you bring ASU?
Well, the appeal is the Colorado had ESPN watching their spring game. They put 45,000 people in their stadium, and that's an attention that they haven't seen. I don't know that many schools have seen if you're outside the SEC and maybe the Big Ten. And if they're banking it on, because Deion's the only thing that you could bank it on. It's certainly not what Colorado has done in its entire time in the Pac-12, because it's been abysmal. And the cupboards were beyond bare when Coach Prime showed up. And Coach Prime, I don't think, is going to stay. I just, for the life of me, I just don't, I don't think he can, and I don't want to use the word ego, but the way he's wired with his, he has to be the center of the universe and he has to have that attention on him. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just his style. And he actually flourishes in a style like that. He relishes being the center of what's going on. And I don't think Colorado is big enough. I don't think, and certainly if it goes to the Big 12, it's not going to be big enough for Coach Prime. I think Coach Prime is priming himself for his big move.
So here's the thing.
And his big move to me is Florida State.
That's why this needs to settle down a little bit, because if a lot of this is based off of what does Colorado have, and then everybody's answer is, well, Coach Prime right now, the energy surrounding him. If everything is, if all of this, like, acting like you have some sort of, like, faux leverage is based off the fact that you have some excitement surrounding your program for the first time in decades.
Right.
Like, and it's based off of a guy that, one, will not be there for very long, and two, what has Colorado proven that they are doing long-term wise that makes it to where they're going to be competitive anywhere in any part of the country? This is like beyond not a P5 program when it comes to football right now. Like, you talk about the – what did you tell me their record was in the Pac-12 since they joined?
It's really like 26-72.
It's so really bad. They win less than a third of their games that they play in Pac-12 play. For the history that they've been playing. And it's like that every year. And last year was a massive embarrassment. The year before that was embarrassing. They had some weird success during COVID year, and no one knew what was going on, and frankly, they didn't even know why they had the success. I don't even think – remember when Carl Durrell, we were like, hey, man, how do you build off of that year? He's like, we're really excited. And they get in there, and they're like, they sucked. And everyone went, oh, shoot. We fooled ourselves into thinking that we had come far, and I think that's what this is doing. You're fooling yourself if you're, hey, Colorado, the best situation you could be in is the Pac-12, bar none. Because the Big 12 looks at you and goes, great, is there someone else who can join you? Because that's kind of nice, right? That happens. It's like, hey, kid, we'd love to have you at this school. Could you bring your 5-star quarterback best friend with you on the visit?
If the Pac-12... Pac 10, 12, whatever it is.
It's going to be, yeah.
Something. It's going to be 10. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you compared the two conferences side by side, so you don't have USC, you don't have UCLA, you don't have Texas, you don't have Oklahoma. Is there a program bigger than Oregon in the Big 12?
There's not even one that equals it, right?
Right. Without Texas or Oklahoma. Washington?
Same.
Okay, I'm going to throw out Stanford.
The name is, of course, Stanford.
There is not a.
Yeah, but they're embarrassing because of all those things, and they can't perform.
Okay, what about Oregon State right now?
You're not going to get Oregon State and Kansas State would be
equal.
They would be like the sister countries that are like, we have a representative across the world. It's just like us.
But Oregon State looks like it's turned a corner with its football program.
Okay. Right?
And I'm just talking about football because it's kind of the only thing that matters.
Yeah, sure. So, no, they're coming around for sure. Absolutely. Right?
And then you have Utah. I mean, is there a better program in the Big 12 right now?
Not right now. Not than Utah. Mm-mm.
No. I mean,
Utah has won as many national titles as all the other teams that are going to make up the Big 12.
Utah's been in the last two Rose Bowls. The two-time defending Pac-12 champion.
Didn't we talk about this? Who the national champions after Texas and
Oklahoma
leave? I
know you don't want to get into and say that Utah would be the best team in the conference because people get mad.
No, I think that – No. I didn't say that.
I'm just trying to support your point where you say Colorado is not going to be in a better conference if they go to the Big 12. Now you could say, well, basketball-wise, maybe it's a better conference.
No, for sure.
But football, it's not.
For sure, but Colorado's not going to help that cause.
No.
Colorado's not going to help the Big 12 getting better in basketball cause.
No.
So in that sense, I am, like, shocked that Big 12 fans are like, yeah, man. And you got to ask yourself, is it because you just want the demise of the Pac-12 for some weird reason, too? It's not good for the Pac-12 to blow up. It's not good.
No.
It's not good for sports in this state. It's not good for even the petty rivalry you have in your head. That rivalry becomes less so if the sport starts to, in the state of Utah, starts to get less strong, if it gets weaker. So I want the Pac-12 to thrive. Colorado, stop it. You have been garbage in the Pac-12, and you have been absolutely blessed. Hashtag blessed Colorado for being in the Pac-12. And so when you do this thing where you're like, we got to do what's best for us, you guys are freaking lucky to be in this in the situation that you are. So you leave the Pac-12. I hope nobody takes you in. I hope you go nowhere. Because Deion Sanders is not going to make you a force long term. No apologies. Love unrivaled. All right. Let's take a break. Hey, we have our NFL roundup around the corner, don't we? Yeah. And we also have our 2 minute drill we got to get to. So we just want to make sure we get all that. We're going to sneak it all in, okay? Does your home need a new look? RJS Exteriors can give you that look this year with the stucco, brick, vinyl, James Hardy siding. Get that look for 2022 by calling the folks at RJS Exteriors. Or 2023 is the year, right? 2023. That's this year. I get it mixed up.
We're almost halfway through.
I should probably get that right. Remember, you're like
2024 right is right around the corner.
Get ready for 2024 with that new look from the folks at RJS Exteriors. 801-280-3110.
Also, Trajan Wealth, TrajanWealth.com. That's your trusted local financial fiduciaries bringing you this portion of the program.
We will come back, and when we do, NFL Roundup, 2 minute drill.
Here we go.
Go get it. Let's go.
That's it.
It's time for the unrivaled NFL Roundup. Premium grade A NFL news from a former NFL quarterback.
Lewison!
And the other guy on 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's another edition of Unrivaled, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is the NFL Roundup, as you heard the music and the man behind the music say, NFL Roundup. It's our daily update on NFL stories, and even though we're not in the middle of they're doing OTAs right now, Scott, so we don't want to bother these guys because it's a lot of work going on. But there's always news that's churning around. And I did read this story, and I was thinking, you know, because we had Captain Obvious earlier in the show, every story to me sounds like Captain Obvious. But also, like, okay, so Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver Tyler Boyd, he's like, look, we could have been to two Super Bowls. If I were healthy the day we played the Kansas City Chiefs, we would have been in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Every
player thinks that.
Every player thinks also, yeah, we were this close. If I would have been healthy, we would have been this close. Jason Tatum, there's a little bit of that too. I think a lot of people see him limp up to the dais after the press conference last night, and they go, oh, man, he's limping. Yeah, he was hurt.
He was limping in the game.
He was absolutely hurt.
Yeah.
The thing is, that Miami Heat team was inspired, man. And they weren't just – they on top of everything else that was going on with Jason Tatum being hurt, Jason Tatum is first-team All-Pro. He's a 30-plus point-a-game guy. And so not having him, obviously that's a big deal. But the Miami Heat were – like, they were all over these guys. And the rest of the Celtics aren't slouches. And so I look at it and I go, when somebody goes, yeah, dude, we would have been in the Super Bowl if I weren't hurt.
Well, that's what Miami said a year ago. What's his name? Why can't
Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
I was going to call him Jimmy Garoppolo. But it's
to call him James Butler.
James Butler.
James Butler.
He a year ago, he got on the podium just like, you know, the Celtics did and said.
They played
like,
that sound
this
clip.
Thing, yeah, I know.
We're going to be here next year.
We're
going
to be here next year, and you wait and see. And so,
at one point, you didn't even believe.
Sometime, but see, that's the thing. You always think as an athlete, like, give me next year, next game, next. Give me another series. If we had one more quarter, we could have come back and won the game. And it's part of like the blessing side of it because you're wired that way, right? You're just wired. But the curse part of it is you can never turn it off. You just don't turn it on and off. You're just constantly going, and it bugs you.
For sure.
For years.
Yes.
Like, you don't get over it.
But here's the part. I should have worked this into Captain Obvious, though. So Tyler Boyd says, he referred to something his coach said. His coach was like, look, it would have been awesome to have him 100% because when you're double teaming the outside wide receivers, T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, it'd be nice to have this other threat
right.
that was legitimate. And so you could make all sorts of arguments. So the bottom line is they did not win. And by the way, do you think that they were the Bengals were the favorites, and then suddenly it turned when their third receiver gets hurt? I don't think so.
No.
But my favorite quote was from Boyd in this. He said, "Look, football is a painful sport. It's full contact. You're going to get hit." Okay.
Actually, most wide receivers don't get hit. he says getting hit is like having a defensive back push you.
Right.
Like the little hand fighting they all
yeah,
do.
The little fight within yeah. those 5 yards.
Little wimpy hand fighting back and forth.
it's a lot of the smacking right. at each other. Like
let's make it look really good, like we're really getting physical
right.
here.
He said, "Well, you're going to wake up sore sometimes." Did you ever wake up sore, Scott?
Yeah.
I just love the idea. You know, you can get hurt in this sport. It's like, no
duh,
dude.
See, this is the third wide receiver talking, too.
I know. You can't.
And, like, third wide receiver sends you their highlight tape, right? So they're doing anything they possibly can to get noticed.
What do you mean? Like, the quarterback gets their highlight tape?
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Do you think it's, like, got some music in
the
background?
Do you not remember the...
You are the wind beneath.
Do you not remember the Johnny Morton?
No, I do, but I don't know
if the third wide receiver.
Do they keep doing that today, do you think?
Every third wide receiver does this. Like, it's like being the middle child. Like, you get no respect. You're just like, Marcia, Marcia, Marcia.
Yeah. I don't know what we know about the Jimmy Garoppolo thing, but apparently... he signed a waiver in place of a physical per reports. What does that mean, Scott, when somebody does that?
Well, if you don't pass physical, then you don't get traded. I mean, that's just kind of the rule. I mean, it's like buying a car that actually has no engine in it or
sure.
is missing like the carburetor maybe or
right,
something
sure.
really important.
Well, I'm wondering if it's one of those things too where you look at a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo and you go, what do you want to accomplish? Are you because is he the starter? Starter, wouldn't he? I don't know.
Of course he'd be the starter. He has a relationship with Josh McDaniels. You got to remember this isn't about whether you're good, can play, can't play. It's the relationship. And he has that relationship. He understands the system. He's the guy they really want above anything else. And that's why they're willing to waiver, you know, give the waiver to the player and just
right.
say, "We know you're injured. We still don't care. We're going to take you and all this stuff, but if eventually you don't pass the physical, then we have the option to,
right.
to let you go."
Because he signed the deal, and then he got foot surgery. So their whole yeah. idea was it's kind of contingent on whether or not this thing kind of pans out, right? The surgery that he heals up 100%. Because
and,
it's a three-year, $73 million deal. You don't make that deal lightly.
No, and why would if you're Jimmy Garoppolo,
you take that?
Why not get the surgery like way back when it happened?
Yeah, I think everybody's pretty shocked about that. I mean— there have been a couple of those where maybe it's because he didn't want to do it with the 49ers. Maybe it's like, man.
Yeah, or maybe he didn't think it was that serious and he thought he still could play. Maybe he thought he could kind of not surgery it back to health. And
not surgery it. I like that.
Yeah. Well, that's what you do.
What are you going to do to that? I'll probably surgery it. I'm probably going to get it surgeried
yeah.
in the next couple of days.
Well,
God willing.
It's an option.
Yeah, it is.
So. You know, who knows? Or maybe he's like, I need to get a deal here first or something. I don't know. It's just you want to get those things taken care of so you don't get close to training camp and then you go, oh, it's not healing right.
Sure.
I mean, just none of it makes sense to me.
Why he
waited.
I think it's all confusing too because in the end, Jimmy Garoppolo, at some point you're not going to be able to resurrect a career when teams keep going, yeah, you're pretty good, and you win games, but we don't like you that much. Like, how many – when somebody does that to you, there's a little bit of a mark on you. And I'm interested to see how the Raiders are going to figure this guy out.
I mean, they're talking that if he doesn't pan out, that Tom Brady's coming back.
Oh, my. We can't. He owns part of the team.
Well, yeah, but he's in a non-advisory role.
Could he sell that part of the team to Unrivaled
well, I don't
while
know why.
He considers his options?
Well, he just put it in a trust. Give it to Giselle for a little while. I trust you.
I still love the idea. I still love the idea that she has to pay him spousal support.
I know.
Giselle, I need $1 million a month. You know this. Come on, honey.
You know this.
You know this about me. This is another.
But actually, that kind of makes sense to have him just fill in for a little while. He could be a fill-in.
Dude, would you want Tom Brady filling in on anything? Because he would show up and you would no longer be employed.
No, he's got –
yeah, he's old.
He's got – yeah, he's
Hey,
old.
This is another – file this under A. We should have done this in Captain Obvious also, but it's the NFL roundup, so we figured we'd save it for this. Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson says the team would be better with DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
Wow.
No.
You mean a guy that he threw the ball to that made a good first part? DeAndre Hopkins may have personally been the guy that made it to where we remember that Deshaun Watson was good.
So if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't go to Cleveland – then you know Deshaun Watson's a bad dude.
No. Because DeAndre Hopkins knows, hey,
they
wants
teammates,
to throw the ball to me. Yeah.
And maybe
it tells you everything when he doesn't show up there.
Huh. I think if I'm DeAndre Hopkins, I run to Cleveland.
Boy, the Browns are hoping.
Deshaun
for that
Watson's
too.
A good quarterback. I know it's hard to get past that with everything else, but he's a really good quarterback.
Yeah. And
you put a talented person like that with him, I'm going to make him a whole lot better.
Yeah, and I just don't think that I just don't think that he's one of those guys. I don't think that Deshaun Watson was the guy that the sport needed to get the full guaranteed contract. He was the worst guy to be the first one to get the guaranteed $230 million. That's the guy.
Yeah.
And the rest of the market gets
you
totally screwed up.
You might even argue that Joe Burrow's at this time.
Josh Allen. Because at that moment, you can't sign a guy who's been out of the game and has had all these discipline problems. Because now everything that happens, you're wondering what is going on.
Cleveland, they're dumb.
Cleveland is dumb. They figure out a way to be dumb.
That's kind of a Captain Obvious. Cleveland?
Hey, Cleveland, they've never been to a Super Bowl.
No.
I would think they don't have their stuff together.
No.
That indicates they
might
not.
You know who else hasn't
been
to the Super Bowl?
Los Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
You think they go with Dan Campbell?
You know who else? Jaguars.
The Jaguars. Yeah. The Jaguars.
Yep.
You're supposed to say it like the people from England. Jaguar.
Jaguar.
If it's going to be a London team, if they end up being would they be the England Jaguars or would they be the London Jaguars? Because Jaguar.
See, I think they need
like to say.
I think it needs to be like the English football teams, right?
Well, they have the thing is that they
like
have
the West End,
the West Ham,
the West Ham
Jaguars. The thing is that Jaguar is already an English-made vehicle,
right?
That's an obvious, you know.
How about the Liverpool Jaguars?
Oh, my goodness.
They can call them the Jaggies.
The stuff that gets us through the offseason is ridiculous.
They call them the Jaggies.
Jaguar. All right, let's take a break. Hey, when we do, or when we come back, we've got ourselves a two-minute drill, some stuff we want to throw in there, including some more obnoxious. When you thought that Scottie Pippen couldn't get more obnoxious and annoying, he outdoes himself. And so we'll tell you the latest of what he said about his former teammate, Michael Jordan, next right here. Before we get out, though, RGS Exteriors can help you out. If you want to get that look in your home for this year that looks amazing and it's setting the trend in your neighborhood, if you want to be the Joneses, not just keep up with them, RGS Exteriors can help you out. Vinyl, brick, James Hardy siding, they can do all of it, and they can make your dreams come true how your house can look on the outside. 801-280-3110. That's 801-280-3110. RGS Exteriors. We'll come back 2 minute drill next right here, 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
There we go. Hey, sports fans, welcome back. Unrivaled 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Uh-huh.
The voice you hear is Scott Mitchell. The other voice over there is Alex Keery. It's time for the two-minute drill, which means we got to hurry. Don't have a lot of time, so talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish, I guess, this section, the show, whatever. We're just going to finish it out quickly. Go home happy with a participation trophy, because everyone gets one of those these days. Breaking news. Well, I don't know if it's breaking. Breaking my heart news.
What is it?
Ted Lasso.
What?
The finale
is been delayed. So it's airing tonight.
It's supposed to be tonight.
I know.
You and I have been waiting for this.
Three freaking hour delay.
Oh, they're not. But it's not by a day.
No, until 10 p.m.
Our time.
Our 10
p.m. Mountain time.
So you got to watch it at 10 p.m.
That's kind of when I watch it anyway, or later. I usually fire it up like 11 or so.
It drops at 7.
Usually?
Yep.
And you watch it right around then?
Watching it right when it drops.
But tonight, yeah. Why would they delay it by 3 hours? Or are they just like really teasing everybody?
I think they're just squeezing every last possible. Yeah. Folks aren't happy about it either.
If you haven't figured it out about Scott Mitchell.
Why would they do that?
Maybe they just like a couple last editing touches they wanted to put on there. You know what I could
editing
see happening?
Touches?
Well, yeah, you know how? They probably filmed like 3 or 4 alternate endings.
Oh.
So that the cast doesn't even know what the ending is. You know what I mean?
Oh.
And then they go, well, yeah, we got it in the bag. And then they a couple last minute tweaks. Boom. Maybe the stars of the show don't even know how this thing ends. If you're just catching up with us, Scott Mitchell has become obsessed with Ted Lasso.
Well, here's the cool thing.
I really love it, but I'm not like nearly as crazy about it as Scott.
But here's the thing. Like, you know how Memorial Day throws you way off?
Mm-hmm.
I thought today was Monday.
Yeah, everybody did.
And I was literally driving into work today going, hey, Ted Lasso.
I get to see Ted Lasso tonight. See, and I just caught up.
I wasn't actually anticipating it. Yeah. So the 3 hour delay, I guess I could live with.
See, I caught up with it over the weekend, over the Memorial Day weekend. And so I'm ready. I'm right there with you. And you were right. The episode leading up to this final one, culmination of 3 seasons of just like really, really just top notch, top shelf TV writing. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those shows, man.
So, Jimmy Butler.
James Butler. Mm-hmm.
Would not hold the NBA Eastern Conference Finals trophy. Goes, I'm not holding it.
Why?
He goes, I'll hold the next one. He goes, I'm not holding this one.
What?
He goes,
that is some weird.
Well, I did this.
No, you didn't, because you never got to a.
What exactly?
You didn't hold it. You also didn't hold the finals trophy.
Well, no.
The Super Bowl trophy.
No. What I did is I said, I'm not going to the Super Bowl until I play in one. Like, I'm not going to show up like all those other, you know, glad-handing NFL players.
Yeah, but how'd it go?
That was the dumbest thing I ever did.
So you would go? You would have gone? You got free tickets every year as a player.
I should have gone to every single one.
You got free tickets as a player, and you never took advantage.
Well, I did take advantage of the tickets.
Oh, yeah, you sold them.
Yeah, sold
but
them.
I would say that also, I don't blame you. Here's why. Like, you could look back and go, I should have gone to the Super Bowl. But the reality was is 18 weeks or 17 weeks at that point of, like, just getting your absolute butt just absolutely pounded into the dirt. That takes its toll. You guys are ready to go on vacation. Like, the guys who aren't in the playoffs are like, I'm out, man. I'm going to Cancun.
Well,
you're like, I'm going back to Utah. I'm going to go fishing. I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah,
I want to be away from football for a minute.
But it was more of, I don't want to go there till I've earned the right to go there. It was one of those things, delayed gratification, maybe.
Oh yeah,
where it's like, I thought it would be a motivator. A good old motivator for you, but it didn't do that.
Delayed gratification. I'm gonna put this one under the. I'm gonna file it under the delayed grumpification of Scottie Pippen that continues. Scottie Pippen has said, this is a story that came out actually right after we went off the air on Friday.
Yeah.
Scottie Pippen came out on a podcast or had recorded a podcast, but it dropped right before the weekend, and he said Michael Jordan was, quote, a horrible player. A horrible teammate to play with. He only cared about scoring, and he was only just about him. And when he was finally convinced that we could be a team, that's when we started winning. We made him better. I don't think Michael is totally dumb to the idea that he couldn't have done it with the people that were around him. There was a reason Scottie Pippen was on the dream team, because Michael said that guy is on the dream team. Michael Jordan said if he wanted these people on the dream team, they were on it. If he didn't want Isaiah Thomas on the dream team, which he did not, he didn't put him on the freaking dream team. Scottie Pippen, this kind of sour grapes and this kind of revisionist history is garbage, and you're starting to suck, my friend, big time.
It's bad optics. It doesn't sound good at all. It really doesn't. But there is a point, too. I think Michael Jordan realized that if he was going to win championships and he was going to have a legacy, he had to bring guys along with him. And that's where I and that's what he did.
But now, nobody looked back
style,
and went.
His style of bringing players along was pretty brutal. Like, he wasn't easy on guys.
Yeah.
He was tough on guys, but you know what? It produced results. And I guarantee you, it didn't have anything to do with Scottie Pippen getting on people or anything. I think Scottie Pippen got in line with Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird version of whatever Scottie Pippen.
It just sounds so bad. It really does. It just does not sound good.
It's
at
really
all.
Sad because it's a guy who, if he could have just kept his mouth shut during, you know, after the career was over, not kept it shut. I think you could talk about whatever. But if he were to choose to take the high road on all this and just go, man, what an amazing piece of history that we are a part of. And just pull the 72 Dolphins situation where you just go, we were the best. Yeah. We're always going to be considered the best. And we had the best player in the world. And you know what? It was awesome to be.
What happened those 2 years when Michael Jordan didn't play?
Oh, they were a better team.
They
became a team. Come on. They certainly didn't go anywhere.
It's way stupid. Right. Here, you want to hear something really sad?
Yeah.
Before we go?
Yeah.
Boston, the only city to host a Game 7 against 8 seeds in both basketball and hockey in the same season
and lose. The Bruins are probably a more sad tale because that's like the best team in the history of the NHL points-wise, wins-wise. That's like my Seattle Mariners that won 116 games 1 year and then just get ousted before even the ALCS. All right. For Scott, I'm Alex. We'll be back again tomorrow. By the way, by way of announcement, we are going to be I got to make sure and get this thing all correct. Because we're going to be there on Thursday from 3 to 6. Our show is going to be live at the Be Prepared Expo at the Legacy Event Center in Farmington. Discount tickets at BePreparedExpo.com. For Scott, I'm Alex. We will talk to you tomorrow, everybody. Stay with us.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
Presented by G2G Bars on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. It's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell, thanks for being with us on the show, everybody. Final segment of the program. Now, as flimsy as it may seem, Scott Mitchell is trying to find any reason to why his Jaylen Brown to the Utah Jazz theory that he rolled out on the show not 10 days ago, and he's sticking by it. And any time, I don't know if he has a Google alert or whatever, he gets told if somebody whispers about Jaylen Brown maybe not being a Celtic, Scott hears about it, and he just found one during the break. What do you have, Scott Mitchell? Any updates?
Well, according to Stephen A. Smith, he questions whether Jaylen Brown even wants to be in Boston. So if Stephen A. Smith is kind of bringing it up, then and apparently there's some issues with kind of the interaction with the media, with being maybe second fiddle, feeling like he wants to be a bigger deal. Who knows? But the whole thing with Jaylen Brown is they can pay him a whole boatload of money, more than anybody can. I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of money. So it's like if he stays there, it's 35%. It's a 35%, and if he goes to another team, it's like 30. And so I guess you do the math. It'd be each year would be 5% less than what it would actually be if he's 60 million
per,
then it's going to be what 5% less of 60 million.
Yeah.
Is.
Whatever the, I don't know what the offer sheet ends up being, but it is less. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if there's any sort of grumpiness, that's moot, right? Where it's like, taking the 5% pay cut and going to a place
people in general,
where Danny Ainge believes in you
would rather be happy working where they're happy as opposed to making more money.
Think about what Patrick Mahomes said last week.
Like, I've made championships.
I've made enough money in my life, and something tells me he loves being the best quarterback in the league in the city that loves him, and on top of all of that, he's become a world champion.
I think he's seen what Tom Brady did. Tom Brady took less money every single year, and won a whole bunch of championships because of it.
Right.
Hmm.
Not a bad idea. Anyway, Stephen A. He says they're failing with Jalen. So must be.
If Stephen A. Smith said it, look, Scott Mitchell and Stephen A. Smith, when they reach across the aisle and shake hands, then you know there might be something there to it. Yeah. All right. For Scott Mitchell, thanks for coming into work today, Scott. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem. He does every day. I'll be here the rest of the
week. I'll be here all week, as he says. Jeremy, our producer, hitting the buttons. And I'm Alex Curie. We'll be back again tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of Unrivaled. See you then, everybody.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.